Happy holidays, and welcome to another episode of ACS Law Talk, a podcast presented by the American Constitution Society. I'm Joseph Jerome, a law fellow here at ACS, and to mark the holiday season, today I talk with religion scholar and constitutional humorist Jay Wexler about the war on Christmas. Jay Wexler is a law professor at Boston University School of Law. There he teaches classes in law and religion, and he wrote a book, Holy Hullabaloos, A Road Trip to the Battlegrounds of the Church-State Wars. He claims he's a funny guy, and he just recently started tracking Supreme Court oral argument humor on Twitter at SCOTUS Humor. And with all that in mind, I thought he'd be a good person to approach to get an update on how the war on Christmas is going.
The war on Christmas, it's as much of a tradition as Christmas itself, really. Every year in December, we get all these controversies about what we should be calling the season, what the government should be doing on its property, whether stores should be saying Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas, whether the governor of Rhode Island is going to light the Christmas tree in the middle of the night so that nobody riots. It's all great fun.
Well, I'm not sure it's all great fun to the people on Fox News.
We're not nuts, it's are we? Not. There is a war on Christmas.
There is a war on Christmas, and the problem is, Gretchen, it's not just Rhode Island. I've been getting emails and calls and letters from all over the country. So why does Christmas have to be attacked? We don't attack any other religion. I mean, you can believe and worship what you want. So just let us be.
What is this agitation over Christmas? I think obviously your book would suggest this. It's not really battles over religion are not a new phenomenon in this country. But what in particular gets people so worked up about the war on Christmas?
Yeah, it's like a lightning rod for our kind of disagreements about religion and what role religion should play in the public square. It's kind of like evolution, for example, is one of those things that gets everybody agitated. And Christmas, since it comes around, you know, regularly, is how it works. We every year we get the same thing. And I guess it's it brings to the foreground some of the disagreements that we have as a culture. So you get people who are not Christian don't like it when the government seems to be celebrating and endorsing Christianity. And then you have people who are Christian who are upset when the government or private businesses sort of respond to that pressure by secularizing the holiday. And so it pretty much ends up that nobody's happy, which is really what we want in the holiday season.
Yeah, more drama. Are there some general rules that people can follow or that cities can follow to make sure that to try and alleviate this conflict? I mean, the White House has a Christmas tree. So
yeah, well, the law is actually pretty straightforward on this. You can have a Christmas tree. The Supreme Court has said that it has basically said that a Christmas tree is a secular symbol. And so you can have a Christmas tree. The Supreme Court has a Christmas party, at least in the Rehnquist era. It would have a party with a giant Christmas tree, and they would make Rehnquist insisted on it being a Christmas party and not a holiday party. So, I think if you decide to do that on government property, you're probably in okay, I guess. So you can have a Christmas tree. You can have a Christmas party. The thing you can't probably do is have a creche all by itself on government property. The Supreme Court said that in this case called Allegheny.
Okay.
If you're endorsing religion by having just a cross or just a baby Jesus creche or something like that on government property, then you're in trouble. Now, if you surround it with like reindeer and a candy cane and an elephant, then you're probably fine. That's another thing the Supreme Court crazily held in a case called Lynch. But short of that, you're all set. So the question isn't really legal. It's mostly cultural, and it's about people's opinions about what's right, not about what's legal.
Well, I guess I could ask you ideally what your ideal balance is to balance faith in the public sphere and trying to avoid government entanglement in religion. But do you think there's, realistically, is there any way to ever make the majority of the people happy?
It would seem not. I guess you could make the majority of people happy by Well, I don't know. I mean, what you could try by just having how we used to have it, where people would celebrate Christmas and have baby Jesuses on public property, and probably most people were happy. It's just that, you know, we have a constitution, and we care about the rights of minorities and that sort of thing. So it's really not about making majority people happy, I don't think. It's about making as many people happy as we can without trampling on anybody else's rights. And so that's going to result in not all that many people being happy, it turns out, I think.
Well, can we get back to the law for a little bit? Maybe you can sort of detail how the Supreme Court has, I guess I'm going to say, split the proverbial baby. I mean, how are Christmas trees secular symbols? Where does that come from?
Oh, gee, I don't really know. I mean, the Supreme Court said it. It's a tree. It's over time. It's kind of lost any religious characteristics. I'm not sure if it really had any before. I'm not really an expert on Christmas trees so much, and nor is the court. But it's clearly true that they think that the Christmas tree is secular. A majority of justices. Now, there was a minority in that case which sort of disagreed about Christmas trees. One of the dissenters in the case that I was mentioning earlier, called Allegheny, thought that a Christmas tree could either be a secular symbol or a religious symbol, depending on like what it's next to. And if you put it next to a religious symbol like a menorah, it becomes a religious symbol. So it's sort of like a dual purpose thing. Depends on where it is, what its meaning is. But I think for most people, it's so, and for most of the justices, it's just an ubiquitous kind of joyful, celebratory symbol of the season or something like that. And so, and it's right. I mean, who nobody looks at, I don't know.
Okay.
If you ask me, I look at a Christmas tree. I have a Christmas tree, and I'm Jewish. You know, it's pretty. It has lights and ornaments, and it's delightful. So I don't think it's a religious symbol. I think most people would say it's not a religious symbol, even if it originally maybe it was, which it may or may not have been, depending on things.
But do you sympathize with atheist groups? My example is I saw in the local news, a local Virginia community was permitting various organizations to man booths, various holiday booths. And so the local atheist organization manned a booth to just sort of advocate atheism. And this created a big controversy.
As reported by my local NBC affiliate after Thanksgiving, the rhetoric got pretty heated.
Barred will be decidedly less traditional displays from recent years, including signs put up by local atheists who maintain using the courthouse lawn for religious displays violates the Constitution's call for separation of church and state. In the Washington Times, County Supervisor Ken Reed likened the atheists to terrorists, saying, quote, "None of the religious organizations in the county have had any problem with what we're doing. It's strictly this group of terrorists. They're fanatics who basically want to stamp out religion in all public life and property."
So I guess my question to you is, are non-religious folks sort of overreacting?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what your what the details of your scenario are. But if the government opens up a public forum where groups can come in and make their views known, religious or non-religious, the government can't discriminate on the basis of viewpoint and exclude some people because they think they don't agree with their message. So if it was the case that the government had, you know, places where people could come and one part of the park or whatever had Christians who were celebrating Christian things, and then some atheists wanted to come and they wanted to celebrate atheism, that is not only a good thing, but it's required by the Constitution. So that raises a slightly different question. And I think that's absolutely right. And if people are angry that atheists get to speak their mind as part of a public forum, then those people are bad people.
that's a strong word.
I'm not mincing any words with you today. They are bad people. No, I guess that's mean. I'm sorry.
Basically, I mean, the war on Christmas, you think it's a sort of a rhetorical fight and there's no real legal, no, there's nothing really legal at play at all?
Well, I think there's very little legal at play. I mean, to the extent there are any legal issues, it's one, you know, there are some limits on what symbolism the government can endorse. And so if the government wanted to endorse something that was purely Christian, it couldn't do that. And this other thing that we were just talking about is also a legal limit, that if the government opens up a public forum to private speakers, it can't discriminate on the basis of viewpoint. But other than that, It's really not a legal issue. The Constitution, as it's been interpreted by the Supreme Court, is fairly clear on this, and so it's a matter of what we are comfortable with as a society. And it turns out that sort of our social and moral views are more complicated than our legal views on this matter. Which is too bad, because I think the law actually has it right on this. I mean, I think that the government shouldn't be able to endorse a religious viewpoint, but it should be able to, you know, celebrate the secular fun things about holidays. And it, if it does say that people can speak on property, it should let everybody speak regardless of what they have to say. So I think we all, in this circumstance, not always true, but in this circumstance, the law has something to teach us, and I think we could all kind of learn from it.
Once again, you can follow Professor Wexler on Twitter at @scotushumor. Theme music is Brass Beat by Covert, available on a Creative Commons license. And from everyone at ACS, here's to 2013.